Sunday the 24th of September 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Rivers of Love. Sermon title, Choices, Choices. Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 35. And our talk is by Jeremy O'Hare.
The reading from Isaiah 35. Joy of the Redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord. The splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We've recently been on holiday to Torquay in Devon, and as you know, the place is full of smugglers and pirates. In fact, this bloke in a pub came up to me in Torquay, and he sold me what he called a pirate GPS. Very useful things, pirate GPSs, because it tells you exactly where you are. It's the best I could do this morning, I'm afraid, folks. It only gets better from there, you'll be pleased to know. But seriously, we'd be seriously lost without one. And they're an amazing thing. And we travelled on many highways and country roads, and we saw many beautiful different landscapes. So I feel this passage today, with its amazing references to nature and to highways, though it's a desert one, not a Devon one, that was really specially meant for me today. And we continue our talk on the Rivers of Love series as we read from Isaiah. And like the prophet Ezekiel, who we looked at last time, Isaiah is a pretty heavyweight prophet in the Old Testament. In fact, he's the largest book of prophecy there. I believe he's a prophet most quoted by Jesus, and it has the most Hebrew words and many different styles in this book. There's a love song to Israel, and it's called the Vineyard. There's political satire in the book of Isaiah, where he taunts the king of Babylon, and of course his poetry. Wonderful poetry all the way through. And this is the amazing thing about God's word, that he communicates with us in ways that can really resonate and reach us, both in our heads and our hearts and in our gut as well. So it's not a three-point sermon today. I'm afraid I love three-point sermons, but this is more of a meditation. And I think this is a wonderful chance just to hear God's word speak to us through these magnificent images and how they can reach into the different areas of our lives. So please feel free to close your eyes, meditate on this word, and he may want to speak to you directly through some of these words. But briefly, just a little quick context before we get going, and looking at Isaiah 34, because the chapter before is a completely different picture. What we see in Isaiah 34 is a picture of complete desolation, of judgment for all the nations, especially those opposed to Israel. We have descriptions of dead bodies stinking, mountains soaked with blood, streams of water turned to tar, dust into blazing sulfur. God, it says, will stretch out the measuring line of chaos and the plumb line of desolation. Wow, you couldn't get a more bleaker picture than what you read in Isaiah 34. But then something changes. We read in the opening verses, hope is found in this chaos. This is such a dramatic contrast to everything that's come before. The passage is like a bolt of lightning from a place of complete darkness and despair. It is this wonderful picture of hope. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Well, the desert in the Bible in this passage represents a spiritual state. It can be godless, forsaken, not watered by the word of God. It can be a reminder of danger, hardship, even death. And it can represent what a place life can be without God. But also the desert can be a place where God reveals himself most clearly. And we know the Israelites were led by God through the desert. And there are many, many stories in the Old Testament and in the New of how the desert is a special place where God speaks and reveals himself to people too. Can you remember a time what it was like to be in a desert? Have you had a desert experience before you knew God? Can you recall what it was like to find God's presence and hope again? Maybe you are in a desert place right now where God seems distant or absent. But please be assured by this passage that God will bring about new life. This picture of a desert flower, this crocus bursting into bloom, is God's promise for all of us today. He promises that our life will be a new one, one of abundance. These pictures of nature, they tell of the most beautiful regions in the area. These majestic cedar trees of Lebanon were fit for a king, because we know Solomon used them to build a temple. The Mount Carmel rises straight up from the sea. It enjoys this rain and vegetation. It's such a contrast to the area around it. And the plain of Sharon is talked of as this wonderful, fertile coastal plain. These places represent health, prosperity, and life, and reflect in a small way the majesty of the Creator that gave them there. Can you think of a familiar place like this in nature that you love, that represents or reflects the glorious sign of God's love? We found this on our holiday in Devon as we're driving over a hill. Right before us opened up this amazing picture of coast, this beautiful, long, golden, sandy beach. It was so unexpected, very un-English in its appearance, but there it was, as if from nowhere. This amazing surprise. We had to pull over and take photos, but it was majestic in its glory. And God can surprise us with his glory as well. When we can't see clearly ahead, when all seems dark and desolate, then all of a sudden we can be presented with a new way through, a new vision. We too shall see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble knees, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. You may have heard the phrase, fight or flight. It's what we feel when we're about to be put into a dangerous or threatening situation. It's a kind of a self-defense mechanism, and the panic and desire to run when we feel scared. Medically, it's called acute stress response. It has very ancient origins back in the days when we were hunted by hungry animals. One day it was a grizzly bear, another day a lion, another day a tiger. Of course, we don't have so many animal threats these days. We have plenty of other threats. But that same response kicks in when we're under pressure. and our hearts beat fast. The adrenaline kicks in. Well, the fearful hearts, in Hebrew it's also hasty hearts, the speeding of the heart. That's exactly what this verse is talking about, except it's saying, no, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come to save. And I have to be honest with you. When that adrenaline, that heartbeat kicks in, I feel that when at times I feel called to speak about my faith to people who are non-believers, to workmates, I get very nervous. I'm more relaxed here than often when I am talking to other people about my faith. It's very strange. So I feel this passage is speaking to me as much as anything else. Do not fear, be strong, God will come. He will give us the words. He will reassure us. God is in control. And then to us and our anxiety and whatever other big affairs that we may have in life, God is present in these most stressed and desperate times. We may have a limited field of vision, and it's our default to worry, but when we hand it over to God, who is the whole of our life in his loving hands, we just need to fear not and to trust in him. And I think a lot of our growing in God is letting go and trusting in him and just doing that. And we have a choice whether to let go. So despite our feeble hands and weak knees, God is saying, find our spirit again, because he gives us his spirit. As we begin to see, there is reason to have hope from this marvelous passage. He is doing something extraordinary. And we read that God will come with vengeance to rescue. It talks of this zeal that God has. It speaks to Israel's own situation, then an exile in Babylon, and how Persia would rise and a new empire would come up, and Cyrus would come on the throne, and he'd rescue the people of Israel by allowing them to go back from Israel, back to their homeland. Then the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Then jumps ahead to the age to come, the messianic age. How the blind will see and the deaf hear. How those who are paralyzed or are mute will speak and find healing, restoration and joy. And Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. When John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus, are you the one who is to come or are we to wait for another? They ask. Jesus answers, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Well, Isaiah is looking ahead some 700 years before Christ and telling Israel something even bigger than our present salvation is on the horizon. Something so, so big, a new age will come. And the passage returns back to our desert image. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs, and the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. These burning sands, like a pool, well, it's a mirage. It's a picture of a mirage. And in these spiritually desert places in the desert, there are many, many mirages. Money, power, sex, status, drugs. The things that we all look to perhaps to find some happiness or relief from life. But they're nothing but mirages. Nothing. But here there is the actual promise, a different promise of water, living water in the desert. A pool of life that satisfies. Jesus is that water of life. He gives his spirit. For whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And we have this choice. Do we want to drink of those living waters? Do we want to stop chasing the mirages? And here in this special place, there are no more wild creatures, but a new environment, a rebirthing of life that is friendly to us, that is good for us as a people. Verse 8, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. Do you know, as believers in Christ Jesus, we walk on this highway because there is no condemnation for us if we live in Him. We have life in His name. We have been redeemed and justified because of what Christ has done for us. We have been rescued from that desert around us in the same way that God's people were taken out of the desert to the promised land. And so our response, as Paul writes, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. This highway is a special place. We are so blessed to find it, and we are called to walk in the light of it. It is a raised road. It is direct, clear. It leads to a destination. It provides a safe passage. It is a select way, and not everyone sadly finds it. But the redeemed shall walk there. It is the way, the truth, and the life, this highway of holiness. And there are so many other people around searching for this sanctuary, searching for this highway in their very own deserts. And those that the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. This highway is a joyful way. The ransomed of the Lord will return, we read in the passage. Yes, it's a vision of the Israelites to return from exile from Babylon, but it's also a much bigger picture of our return to the true kingdom of God. The picture of Zion is for all of humanity, and it means that for everybody. As the Apostle Peter writes, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the crown of life, this anointing of oil on their head. It's also used in times of celebration as the garlands of flowers. And it reminds me of this verse in James, that blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised to those who love him. Gladness and joy will overtake us, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Zion is that final fulfillment, the place of God's eternal dwelling and peace for all people who call upon his name. It is also the new Jerusalem, a new Zion, where the river of the waters of life, as clear as crystal, flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It is our hope. It is the ultimate destination of our highway in the desert. And we just need to make the choice to walk along that road. May God continue to lead us and strengthen us along the way, trusting him through our own deserts into abundant life. Amen.